The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 32, Orphix. I had been looking forward to the walk with my teacher in Krasna Polyana with special anticipation. This is an amazing place that you cannot help but fall in love with. We moved through the mountain forest, covered with a rustling red carpet. The beech forest in autumn is a stunning sight. It seems that you are in a fairy tale. The sunlight falls through the huge golden and maroon crowns of ancient trees, creating an amazing atmosphere of unearthliness, mystery, and amazing natural beauty. Many of the trees that grew on the mountain slopes looked like magic giants with their arms outstretched. Their branches were curiously curved and sinuous, and their roots spread out like powerful tentacles from the base of the trunk and were covered here and there with greenish velvet moss. Autumn had long since asserted itself, dressing the trees in sumptuous gold and purple outfits. The fallen leaves swirled in the air, rustling underfoot with pleasant music. We walked through the beech forest, enjoying the spicy scents. Autumn felt very different in the mountains than in the city where I had once lived. Somewhere in the distance, we heard the sound of a mountain stream, and we went toward it. As we moved, we noticed a lot of unusual things. For example, several times birds flew very close to us, and wild animals came running up to us. So, suddenly, a mottled green and brown lizard crawled out on a rock right in front of us, and froze, barely noticeable moving its round, dark eyes. When we went deeper into the forest, we saw a family of wild boars. They ran past about 5 meters away from us and quickly disappeared into the thicket of bushes. After a short ascent, the forest track went down, and after descending it, we saw a dolmen, a stone structure that had been created by people many millennia ago. As we drew nearer, we touched its rough, mossy surface with trepidation. The structure looked like a small house, at the bottom of which was a semicircular opening that resembled a miniature arch with a regular vault. The roof of the house was flat and consisted of a large block of stone put horizontally on top of other blocks that served as walls. Touching the surface of the dolmen, I closed my eyes, soaking up its lavish energy. Even those who had never engaged in spiritual practices could probably feel it here. So powerful was the subtle energy in this place. Nearby, about 10 meters away, there was another dolmen that looked exactly like the first one. Next to this structure, there was even more energy. I literally felt it fill me and give me a sense of peace, pleasant calmness, and bright joy. The other members of our group felt much the same way. It was so nice here that I wanted to stay near the ancient structures longer. We performed a group meditation here, feeling an incredible surge of strength, a sense of fullness, and great, all-pervading love for the whole world. "What were the dolmens created for?" we asked the teacher when we continued our walk again. Now, we were going uphill all the time. The beech forest here was special. The trees had even more bizarre shapes, probably because streams of water often descended the mountain slope, walking smoothly on the maroon carpet of withered leaves. The sage answered us, "Since ancient times, people of knowledge have tried to express their understanding in art, creating megaliths, temples, and rituals in order to convey this knowledge to other people and to pass it on. The megaliths, due to their special position on Earth, their shape, and their orientation to certain stars, transmitted cosmic energy to people, and even now, they transmit it if you tune in to them correctly. After all, it is not enough for the mind to know the truth. It must be understood by the whole being of a person, their body, and especially their heart. For this purpose, various rituals, sacred dances, chants, icons, and so on were created. All this is to influence the emotions and body of a person."
"How can emotions and body fathom the truth?" Serena asked.
"This is quite simple," replied the sage. "Let us say that only the heart can fathom love for others, for God, and for all beings. No matter how much the mind talks about love, it cannot experience it. The body must also change in order to maintain love in the heart. It must have a certain posture, facial expression, and subtle energy in the channels. Otherwise, this love will be superficial and will not possess any power. For this purpose, certain rituals were created to convey the knowledge to the emotions and body. So, try to do it yourself. Become magicians who use art to convey the truth to the emotions and bodies of people. This is called Orphix. Take an idea and put it in verse. Then compose or select ready-made music that would be in tune with these verses, and sing a song to this music, transmitting through this the state that expresses this knowledge as completely as possible, submerging in it. And then develop dance movements to this dance that will express this wisdom in movement. And let others listen, sing, and dance with you. This will be the realization of the truth with the mind, heart, and body. Then the knowledge will transform your whole being. Otherwise, it will just be information and will not bear any results."
"What does modern art do, then? What does it convey to people?" I asked.
The teacher frowned and said, "It is just terrible. It teaches people stupidity, negative emotions, and promotes violence and war. It is because of this that we live so poorly, and there is so much evil on earth, so much suffering. People have moved away from spiritual art and seek the riot of passions and cheap entertainment in secular art, and are infected with very dangerous ideas, criminal thoughts, examples of evil and cruelty, and wrong reactions. Modern art keeps people at the level of dementia. Your task is to correct this state of affairs and create works that will open love, kindness, compassion,
and knowledge of God to people. As we talked, we went up a steep track and finally emerged from the forest into a beautiful mountain clearing overgrown with yellow rhododendrons. The flowers spread across the glade in a beautiful bright carpet. The beech forest had been left behind, and we had a delightful view of the neighboring mountain. Its peaks were decorated with snow, and the slopes were covered with green coniferous trees, which beautifully combined with the gold of autumn dresses of the deciduous forests. The mountain tops touched layered clouds that drifted slowly and majestically past. We went to the teacher, and he gave us his blessing, placing his hand on each person's head. When the sage touched me, I felt an amazing state of enlightenment, airiness, and elation. It seemed that just a little more and the emotions would pour over the edge. His energy was so great that I felt like the whole sky was coming down on me. At that moment, I realized that I was ready to share this energy with other students and with the whole world. I felt that a powerful stream was flowing through me, and I was its conductor, the one who could and was ready to put this energy into creative forms. I really wanted to write the lyrics for songs, putting in it the deepest spiritual meaning, telling people about the truth, which was now, after the touch of the teacher, more revealed to me. After that, we immersed ourselves in expressing the truths of the great teacher in verse. Those who had the ability to sing began to sing them in tune with the music, often even 30 or 40 songs at a time. Thus appeared the divine chants, which now contain thousands of songs and take more than 300 hours of recording, where all the immeasurable wisdom of the teacher is expressed. The divine chants have helped millions of people experience the truth with their whole being, reveal many insights, heal, and correct difficult life situations. This is a real salvation for humanity. I remembered the first time I had heard the divine chants at my first city seminar. Then I seemed to be standing at the crossroads, unsure which way to go. I could only vaguely guess at my true desires and motives. Then I was moved to the depths of my soul by a song recorded by one of the sisters who had learned from the teacher. I remembered how I felt when I heard it. Those verses fell into the very center of my consciousness. They captivated me, awakening spiritual impulses. Then it was this song that helped me finally realize my needs and turn to the spiritual way of development. Now I knew it had not been an accident. This effect of the divine chants on people is common. Later, I witnessed many times how music helped other people to find their spiritual path. Great truths were conveyed in these lyrics so simply and so easily that even the most complex things became clear and transparent. The language of this music was universal. I remembered the first time I had written such a song myself. at my first retreat in the mountains. I felt so good and so light at heart that the words began to form themselves into sentences. I walked along the mountain road and sang, experiencing an incredible surge of strength and inspiration. At the time, I didn't know why this was happening. Now, I understood that at that moment, I had been transmitting the cosmic energy of the teacher. Orphix, this was the real magic of art. The divine chants and dances with them banished diseases, gave people the opportunity to turn their lives in the right direction, get closer to spirituality, realize their destiny, and turn to goodness and light. Such creative impulses occurred many times, especially often after walking with the teacher. And not only I, many students from our group wrote such lyrics. When we returned from a walk with the teacher, with bright eyes and a smile from ear to ear, we were full of energy and simply could not sit still. Some started laughing, some dancing, playing musical instruments and singing, and some writing poetry. I was well aware of this state of my brothers and sisters, because I often had it myself. I wanted to love the whole world, to share my joy and knowledge, which I had perceived after the conversation with the sage. I often grabbed my notebook at once and wrote verses. These lines came to my head. Rhymes were quickly found, and they were so simple that I wondered why I had not written these verses earlier. And then one of the sisters would start singing them, creating a melody right in front of my eyes. The teacher made it possible to put all our impulses into form. There was a small recording studio in the teacher's house, and each student was given the opportunity to sing at their own pleasure with the flow of creativity that flowed through them. Those of us who could play instruments chose the music. We had a synthesizer, and we could record simple music with it. Sometimes it even happened that a person would only be brought food, drink, something tasty, just so that he would be provided with everything and would not need anything, as long as he manifests the flow of the Guru. After all, this creativity was just a manifestation of the teacher through us, his students. Sometimes some people were seduced and thought about the big stage, but usually, once they were disconnected from the teacher's energy flow, no one heard of them again. On the contrary, there were famous singers who came to meetings with the teacher for inspiration. For obvious reasons, I cannot say their names. The mentors also used the opportunity to sing in the teacher's house. After meetings and darshans with the great sage, they recorded songs. Many compositions were born during seminars and retreats that were held in various parts of the country. There were even regional Orphic seminars for 150 people. The teacher listened with great interest to each new song as soon as it appeared. He even combined songs with music and selected the best songs for albums. Later, everyone listened to the divine chants recorded in our improvised studio, filling all of us with wisdom. The songs were all born with a deep meaning. They sang about God and the spiritual path. These were the special songs that evoke the same emotions that the singer experienced at the time of creation. The divine chants are something that can raise the culture of the earth to an unprecedented level and avert the coming Armageddon. Nothing in me has awakened so many sublime emotions, love, and grace of God as listening to the divine chants and especially dancing to them. This is a wellspring of wisdom and divine experiences. The teacher himself also liked to listen to these songs. This music has become a powerful tool for the development and discovery of divine nature. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge and books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.